What do you do next? You're having success. You're selling homes. You've probably got a few people on staff or some contractors helping you out. But who do you hire next? What's the next point of leverage? That's what we're talking about today on the podcast. This is Commissioned, the podcast where successful real estate agents and team leaders go from the chaos and the grind of just figuring it out to freedom and peace of mind and wealth of having some systems and some structure and a great business. I'm Todd Tremonti. Along with me here, we've got Grady Dill, our director of real estate growth systems. And I run a team here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area market where we do seven figures of real estate commissions every single year with a pretty high profit margin. We've been coaching and consulting with agents all over North America for well over a decade. We're going to dive into what does it look like to make that decision? What is that next best hire? The leverage of humans, of people, of wisdom, of personality that can help you move your business forward. I don't like the phrase to the next level because oftentimes people don't even know what that next level is. But for most of our audience and our friends in the business, you got a pretty good idea of what you want, whether that's more free time, that's more income, that's more impact, that's less drama, that's more stickiness, your people stick around longer, more retention, and many other things. But for a lot of people in that situation, for a lot of people that are thinking, who should I hire next? There's a combination of optimism and fear. Optimism that we could do more if we can get beyond my limitations on time or our limitations on time. But there's also some fear. Do I have to commit to a salary? Do I have to commit to a certain commission income or to some sort of incentivized bonus structure? So the fear is often, do I have to lead with cash that I don't really want to spend on this? Even though if I nailed it and was getting that productivity, that return on that investment, then I'd be thrilled. So we're going to talk today about how to go about that. But before a specific what do you do, because this is not a universal answer, we're going to talk through a little bit of how do you figure that out? Now, I want to give a quick example just because we've had lots and lots of coaching clients over the years go through this experience, and I've obviously been through it myself as well, where the question is the chicken or the egg. Do I need to find the ideal person first, or do I need to have a bunch of money set aside first, or do I need to have a perfectly defined role figured out first? And it was not very long ago that one of our coaching members in South Florida was really struggling with this after wrestling with some virtual help and just not wanting to hire somebody because of the frustration of it gets harder before it gets easier and I'm going to have to train somebody. That's going to take more time and energy, and I have no time and energy right now to spare before we really move the ball forward, right? And so this guy's name is Scott. So he killed it. He ended up finding someone who had a marketing background who could help him with A, marketing, but also B, C, and D, just some day-to-day simple tasks. The reason this was successful for him specifically is because he did define the role first. And we'll get into how to do that here in a minute. But he defined the role first. Then he was able to recognize, because he didn't really go through like a grand recruitment process, but he was able to recognize when somebody fit the role that he had previously defined. Then he was able to offer a primary position, meaning the marketing, which for him is marketing listings for sale primarily. He doesn't have a really super robust paid marketing for leads process, but his was helping market properties for sale. And then with that came the desire for some additional work if and when it became available. And so on a gradual feel each other out process, he was able to add this person as, I would not call this person for him an operations director, but I would call them a well-trusted assistant. Right? Someone that can do more than one thing. It's not like he just went out and found marketing help or just went out and found prospecting help. This is someone that can help him operate his business, but with the primary basis with their skill set for marketing. And so long story short, he's almost completely doubled his listing side business in South Florida in the last year and a half, which has not been a fun time to be in South Florida for a lot of people, and where most people are not getting listings or they're simply getting listings that are just sitting. And they're just a cost. So he's defied the odds there and is having an incredible year in South Florida where many are not, and actually working less than ever and leaving the country for months at a time. I think he was out of the country almost two full months last year. and had an incredible income year and is on pace this year to blow his goals out of the water. Probably have an all-time great year, if not really close to it. In a market in South Florida, again, where a lot of other people are seeing tons of inventory, houses just sitting, very little selling, and income's very difficult to come by. So that's what's possible when we're willing to slow down before we speed up and answer this question, what's my next leverage point? Or more specifically, who's my best next hire? Okay, so let me revisit that. Kind of here's the process I would recommend most people go through. Feel free to jump in, Grady, if you got something on the tip of your tongue. But let's slow down before we speed up, right? So instead of just going, my friend's got a kid that wants some work, I'm going to hire him and see if it works. Don't do that. Do not do that. And I'm typically not here just to shout at people and tell you, do this, don't do that. But I can tell you that one is almost never going to work out. People have from time to time gotten lucky with that sort of thing. But luck is very difficult to replicate at scale, right? So hundreds and hundreds of us are not going to follow our friend Jeff who got lucky with his niece. That's just not likely to work for you. So let's slow down before we speed up. Here's a very simple exercise you can take yourself through. Part of the process here to help in the slowing down before you speed up. Slowing down to define the role is really priority one. There's more there. And if we had all the time in the world, I would tell you, go through some personality assessments and understand what your gifts and abilities are beyond what you already consciously know about yourself. By the way, you can use ChatGPT to do this for free right now. I'm not sure how long we're all going to know the legality of that with copyrights and things, but you can ask AI right now to walk you through an assessment. You can choose all kinds of different assessments, and it will do that. And the more you know about yourself, the more you'll understand what you need in an assistant, personal assistant, administrative assistant, listing assistant, whatever that looks like. We'll help you define that role here in a minute. But number one is to understand yourself. So if you know yourself pretty well, then I think you can start rolling into this. But if you have the time, I'm talking 30 extra minutes, go knock out one or two or three additional assessments and ask AI for an incredibly thorough report with special emphasis on the skill sets you have and the skill sets that would be a great complement to you in a work environment. Okay, so that's kind of part of step one. Slow down, make sure you have a very clear understanding of who you are, how you work, and who works well with you and who could complement you, who has gifts that you don't have, but also temperament and gifting and natural style. So it's not just, I'm great at marketing, I need someone who's good at administrative work. It's, I think really quickly, I could benefit from someone who processes more slowly and thoroughly. I'm really great with numbers, I could use someone that's a little bit more creative with words. Literally at that level. So number one, understand yourself. That's going to help you do step two, which is to create the job description. Now, that sounds really difficult to a lot of people. Some people listening right now, I could do that in 20 seconds. Great. A lot of people just need to start with a list of things that you hate doing. And I know that sounds really ugly because it feels like for a lot of us, most people that are interested in my stuff are generally pretty kind-hearted, hardworking, ethical people. And so it feels like I'm dumping all this junk on somebody else. But if you've done step one well, and you've understood yourself and your needs and who complements you well, we're going to find somebody else who the list of things that are driving you crazy. That's what we're creating here. It's a list of things you don't want to do anymore, the things that aren't really all that valuable for you to do, the things that you're not very good at, the things that just eat your soul when you have to do it that you hate doing. We're going to find someone who really likes those things. That's their list of things that they feel fortunate to get to do. Like for you, it may be marketing or sales, or maybe not, but whatever the things that light you up are, there's someone out there that those things are miserable to them. And so we're going to go make a list of the things that are miserable or inefficient or in the way or slowing you down or not very profitable or aren't going that well. And that's the beginning. It's not the complete final version, but that's the beginning of the job description, or at least in your mind, the clarity around what you're hiring for. It doesn't mean you have to go put it on a job board, but now we know what we need. And then we can back away and look at that and go, is that a job? Is that a full-time position? Is that a part-time position? Is this a shared role? Is there any one person on earth that can do these things? Chances are, in a small to mid-sized residential real estate business, there's someone out there that can do that combination of tasks, that can own those combinations of outcomes. And they'd probably be really interested in working for somebody that's moving quickly and growing and engaging and cares for people, which many of us, many of you are. Okay, so step one, get to know yourself and what your needs are, what your gifts are, and what complementary gifts you need to bring into the organization. This may not be your first hire, so now you're assessing who are the other people that we already have and intend to keep, and what complement does the whole team need? As a believer, I would say there's different parts of the body. God gives us different unique gifts and abilities, and we complement each other, and we're intended to depend on each other and interdepend on each other. If you don't share my faith, that's just still a logical business practice, right? I'm good administratively. I need someone who's good creatively. I need someone else who's good at like compliance. Yeah, okay, so we need to complement each other. So what does the organization need? Okay, now we're going to create a list of all the things that I or we don't like doing, aren't very good at doing, aren't doing at a high level, simply aren't doing at all, but still need to be done, or the things that would get us over a current challenge, a hump, an issue, help us achieve more, take advantage of more existing opportunity, things like that. Okay, the number three is a choose your own adventure. This is not for everybody. Go post the job on Indeed, although it could be. This might be, I'm gonna put this out to just my sphere of influence first. Okay, so I'm gonna send this out as an email. I'm gonna include this in our newsletter. I'm going to record a video and send it to my top 100 most trusted advocates and vendor partners and referral partners and friends in the business and friends out of the business and all that things. I'm going to make very few assumptions on where this person is likely to be. I am also going to make a bunch of inferences on where this person might be. And that sounds really backwards. Okay. So number one, I'm not going to make a lot of assumptions on where this ideal candidate might be. I'm just going to put the word out to people that I know and like and trust that tend to know people and hope that we find someone. We attract the right person. Secondly, I am going to make some educated guesses and go, people with those types of talents and gifts and abilities often were servers in restaurants. Okay, where can I meet some of them? A lot of people coming right out of college already have these. I don't need anybody with a tremendous experience. Okay, so I'm going to talk to some local universities. All right, so we're going to do both. We're going to go shotgun, broad-based, and we're going to go highly targeted. So you can start with people you already know in your existing database. You could post on social media, which widens that circle a little bit. Then you could go post on job boards. And job boards could mean anything from LinkedIn to Indeed to niche, industry specific, whatever. That just means post a job description with some compensation information and some hours information and locate all that standard stuff, and then watch what the world does. Now, let me give you a couple extra quick tips here. What you don't want is 500 unqualified applicants that you now owe a response to, because we're doing this because we're already busy and overwhelmed and needing to get help. So you don't want this to become your new primary job. What we can do here is maybe delegate that portion to someone else, or I would think better is in your putting the word out, whether that's a job posting or an email or a text or a conversation or a video or whatever, we're going to create a built-in system that filters. In a perfect world, you do get 500 inquiries. You probably only want to talk to about 50 of those people, and you're probably only going to hire one. It may be more like 12, 4, and 1, but I would strongly recommend that you interview a bunch of people. So all that to say, you're going to want at least a basic three-step system to filter applicants or interested parties so that you or someone on your team is only talking to serious candidates. And those could be any three simple steps. Respond to this with an email. Put this in the subject line. Okay, does someone follow instructions? Especially if you're hiring for administrative help, that person needs to follow basic steps. Follow instructions. Read the whole instructions, okay? Chances are, this is not universally true, but if you're doing well in marketing and selling real estate, generating leads and converting them, you're probably more naturally wired to relationships and marketing or sales than you are process creation, following instructions. Now, I'm not judging anybody that has the opposite gifts. I've got some friends and clients and coaching clients that have done incredibly well with atypical, non-stereotypical giftings. But that's normally the way this works. So give them a three-step process. Step one could be as simple as send an email with this in the subject line. Step two could be create a short video on your phone and text or email it over. It's going to help you understand, A, can they follow instructions? B, do they know how to do this? C, what do they look like, sound like? How do they present themselves? Can they speak clearly and professionally? Are they respectful? Did they think about their background and their noise and the location? You're going to learn a lot about somebody through those things. And then a third step could just be literally the delivery method. Email me this, text me that. Email me this, upload this over here. Go to this other place to get the three-step instructions. Some of this is going to dramatically limit your applicants because people aren't going to do it. But it's going to filter for saving you time and energy and having you only talk to what I would say contenders. I'm not going to say like premier candidates. Crazy people can still get through the process. But the point is, if you'll do what we've talked about so far, you should have some people to talk to about growing your team and delegating some of the junk that you don't want to do, shouldn't be doing, or not doing well. So through that process, you should be able to discern what a great next hire would be, not necessarily what the next best hire would be. So there's a couple things we can talk about to help you do that. What are your biggest problems right now? Really? Is your problem that you're not making enough money? Then we probably don't want to spend a bunch of money on salary, but could we trade $2,000 a month for a part-time role or an intern type deal to get $6,000 or $8,000 a month? How could that happen? Is there anything on your plate right now that you're like, if I just had someone that could do these two or three things, then we could sell two more houses every month? Okay, that's worth it. That may be your best next hire. If your best next hire right now is to retain sanity because you're not seeing your spouse or kids very much right now, then this is less about revenue and this is more about freedom for you. And that looks a lot like you looking at your calendar and going, what am I willing to do? What am I willing to trade right now? What do I need to get back? Now, what are those things and who's capable of that? What would that cost? What could I compensate somebody well to do to still have the freedom to build their future? These should be indicators that not everybody needs all of these things, but most of us want and need most of these things to determine who is the best next hire. Let me give a quick caution here because a lot of people want their next hire to be inside sales, phone sales, appointment setting. This is one of the most difficult roles to get right in the industry of residential real estate, yet one of the most commonly sold things. We're being marketed and advertised to constantly with the fact that someone else will make the calls for you. Someone else will do the thing you don't want to do. But the reality is the success rate on things like that is very low. In the current world of artificial intelligence and AI-assisted call centers, there are some exciting things out there. The idea of a warm transfer, somebody else calling colder leads and then culling those leads for someone that has some interest and then transferring them, has some merit. It doesn't tend to be nearly as financially advantageous as it sounds or as you or someone on your team simply putting in the work. But I understand it's certainly on the table for a lot of people as something to consider. I would suggest that more agents, especially in the launch and early scaling phase of a team, however you define team, what I call a junior agent would be a great idea. A fully licensed in production agent that is not yet in a position to have a full pipeline is probably a year or two from having a fully robust individual killer pipeline that they support you and they're simply an extension of you. You do want them to have some slightly different complementary gifts. It's great if they're in a different life stage or have different schedule availability with a lot of overlap, but also some different availability. So when you're busy, they're not. And when you're not, they are. That's okay. That's not always a younger, inexperienced person. It's just often a newer person in their career. And their job, A, is to make your life easier, and B, to build their own long-term sales pipeline. You can help them. There can be great mutual benefit. You can pay them some salary and some commission incentives, and that can go really well and help them build a really great long-term career as well. So here's the process. The simple process is, number one, take some time, slow down before you speed up, get that assessment of yourself and your organization and your current situation. What do I do well? What's going well? What are we not doing well? What are we not doing at all? What could solve one of our core problems right now, whether it's revenue or time or compliance or wasted leads and things like that? Then create the job description, but start that with just what are the things that are annoying you? What are the things you don't want to do, can't do, aren't doing well? And extend that to anyone in your organization if there are others already. Number three is to turn that into a job description. It doesn't have to be overly formal if it's not going to be posted on a job board. but at least a handful of bullets. Make that sound attractive. Don't mislead anybody, but talk about that in the most attractive way, understanding there are people out there that really enjoy doing the things you don't enjoy doing. I do not like being in the spreadsheet. I'm married to someone that enjoys a great spreadsheet, right? I know there are people that like, man, if they could get away with it, they would be in analysis all day long and never go do anything. I'd rather be doing and get past the analysis. So I can find people that can compliment me. So don't believe that the stuff you hate, everyone's going to hate. Someone's going to love it. You got to use the clarity to attract the right person though. So we got to get really clear on that. Put that into at least some bullets, if not a good looking job description. You can use AI to help you craft that into a compelling, attractive description. Just make sure it's accurate and not misleading. AI will do that to you if you're not careful. And then you want to have a simple but very well thought out process so that you're not overwhelmed with poor candidates. You or someone you delegate to is only talking to real contenders. And then the good thing, the good news here is you don't have to hire any of these people. I would argue you want to interview at least 5 people. Some will say 10. In a small to mid-sized business, sometimes that's a little more than you need. But you should not be hiring the first or second or third person you interview unless you can legitimately say with someone else's perspective, this is like a once in a generation talent here. Like, we cannot pass on this. But you really need to have interviewed 3, 4, 5 other people to know that. So don't just be so needy or so excited that you're jumping into that. The question we were talking about today is, who is your next hire? I can't answer that for each and every person. I've given you a process here that should help you answer that. But I will say this, for most highly productive solo agents or solo agents with help, meaning you get some help on your showings, you have some help maybe online with your internet stuff, your pay-per-click or your website, maybe your social stuff like that. For most of those people, your next hire is an assistant of some kind. Administrative assistant, personal assistant, office assistant, shared assistant. It's usually somebody to do paperwork, to do web platform stuff, to get documents prepped, to help you with some valuation and scheduling and showings and things like that, to put folders and things together, to schedule. And if you'll do that, a lot of times you can produce 30 to 50% more, sometimes 100% more. Sometimes you can double your sales because you're getting so much time back administratively, quote unquote, in the office, that you can sell twice as many houses without any more hours or invested. And then you can pay people well, then you can really begin to scale. That's not true for everyone. For some of you, you got a bunch of leads, you're not getting to them, you could use another buyer's agent. Maybe a showing agent, probably a buyer's agent. For some others that have really scaled well and that are doing really well, it may be time for some listing help. And that hire can be really powerful in your business. I'll give you one more nugget. Looks like Grady's got a thought on his mind. One more nugget here is I would go most people will go administrative help first, buyer agency help second, more administrative help, more buyer help, hold on to listings for a really long time, bring in help with listings, and probably the very last, as far as production, fully delegate listings. So that looks like maybe hire 5, 6, or 7 is listing agent or what we call marketing specialist.
Okay, so going back, if you don't slow down at the beginning,
yep,
and you rush into hiring without having that time period of what do we actually need? Yep. What am I struggling with? If you rush into this, it sounds like it could be absolutely catastrophic.
Yeah, the cost of a bad hire is way worse than the benefit of a good hire. And that sounds so dang negative, and I'm not typically a negative person, but that is the reality. Most people will tell you, I would rather have not hired anybody than to have gone through the frustration that I just went through for the last 6 months or a year. And again, it just happens to be that a lot of people in our audience are generally really nice people that don't let people go fast enough. We should hire slow and fire fast. A lot of us hire fast, to your point, and then fire really slow. So we know within 3 or 4 weeks that I no longer enjoy being in the office as much because that person is there and they're not doing their job well, but I still feel like I should keep them or whatever. And then a year later, I'm so glad they're finally gone. We should hire slow and fire fast, but a lot of people hire fast and fire slow. So yes, if you don't slow down up front, you're usually hiring the nephew or the friend's kid or the first or second person that emails you or the social media comment or message that sounds like a decent enough fit and you don't want to waste any time with it because you're so slammed already, just boom, let's go. And then it works out. Having been a financial cost, an emotional cost, a time and energy cost, a joy cost, and even if you made good money, which most people don't in that situation, it ends up being very clearly not worth it. So don't do that. Again, I'm not always here to tell you, do this, don't do that. There's nuance and there's individual experiences and markets and team sizes and goals, but that's one that just almost always ends up being a really bad fit. And I've had coaching clients. We've gone through a much deeper version of the framework I just gave. And then next week, they're like, hey, I hired somebody. I'm like, you should not have. You should not have. You have not had time to do all of that well yet. So I put the word out and someone showed up and I hired him. It's going to be great. I already know she's going to be amazing. And then you're like, okay, you've already made the decision. I want to be supportive now, but start the clock. Within 6 months, you're going to tell me that you regret this and that you wish you had listened to the process. So this is not that laborious of a process. This isn't that big of a beating. Follow all or at least most of this, and you'll be really glad you did.
There's a Navy SEAL quote that says, slow is smooth, smooth is fast.
Yeah, which people are annoyed by generally, right? It's no, I picture a Navy SEAL. I picture the fastest, strongest, most elite ninja squadron on the planet. When in reality, avoiding the mistakes, avoiding the bad hire, avoiding the losing someone or having to redo something is fast. It's like slow and steady wins the race. It's pacing yourself accurately. All those metaphors speak to the fact that if you'll slow down before you speed up when it comes to hiring, when it comes to scaling your team, a lot of people don't think of agent recruitment as hiring. They think of it as just pure recruitment or growth or whatever. All this applies there as well. It may not be as task-oriented or as W-2 focused as it is production-oriented. Same thing goes, though. Talk to a bunch of people. Someone should make you hire them. This sounds really negative, but until someone is, I think I'd be an idiot not to hire this person. I don't think you should. So that's tough. It's tough to put yourself in that position. Therefore, you're going to need more candidates. You're going to need more clarity that you really want to go through all that. You really want to make this hire. You really have your incentives figured out. You really have what you've clearly defined what a win is, which is part of that figuring out what they need to do, what you need done, what would be the complement to the team, what skill set would bring value for the client and the team. That's a framework that ought to really help you. So real quick, number one, figure yourself and your organization out. What do you do well? What do you not do well? What are your needs? What would complement you? Number two, make that list. It looks like a job description, but it looks ugly in the beginning because you're just making a list of what do we need done? What would help us grow? What would keep us from problems? What are the things we don't want to do, don't like doing, we're not doing well? Okay, then you can formalize and craft that with some help or on your own. And then third, you put the word out, but that could look differently. That could be friends, family, past clients only, or that could be job boards. That could be social media. And then 3A or 4 is create a system so that when you get responses, because if you've done the first three things well, you are going to get responses, that they filter themselves, that the process and the system helps you when you're already burdened and grinding, not being even more burdened and more ground up by having a process that filters so that you're only speaking to real contenders for the role. And then 5, we're only going to hire people that make us hire them, that we are really fired up about, that we feel silly not to hire. And if we do that, then we can have a reasonably high success rate. We can grow and scale real businesses. I don't know if I need to do this, but this is your reminder for today that you are growing a business. You're not just building a pipeline. Real estate isn't different than real world business. You're growing a real business. And so that next hire may be the key that unlocks a massive future. One killer hire can change your life, your family tree forever. Financially, socially, freedom, clarity, trust, all those things that you need to build a small business, that's where it's at. And that can make a huge difference. So the process is there. You can follow it or not. I hope you do. if you could use some help on that, might want to jump on a phone call, chat for 15 minutes or so, put together a little framework for you, or consider an even more robust framework. There's a link somewhere around where you're hearing or seeing this, and you can request a short call, jump on a strategy session with me or sometimes Grady, and talk through what it may look like for you to make that next best hire, to get out of the grind, get out of the overwhelm, get out of the frustration of where you are right now, the chaos, and get into a little bit more freedom, a little bit more income, a little bit more impact, and of course, some wealth as well. We'll talk to you on the next one.